Hey everyone, welcome back to Art of the Assistant, and this is actually part two of an important subject talking about dodging spears and rejecting armor. If you missed part one, go back and check it out. But just to bring you up to speed, we were talking about David. And you know, David was just quite the guy. I mean, he really was. He was definitely a man after God's own heart. He had wisdom. He became into his own man, just not a servant of his brothers. The people in Saul's court loved him. He was successful in the things that he did. But as we said in the last episode, Dan, he was unconventional in the way that he did things. He was out of the box with five smooth stones and a sling, and he rejected the armor. You know, this is who Saul is. This is who Saul was. This is my symbol of strength, and you just rejected it. And it didn't go well for David from that point on. I mean, David slays his 10,000, Saul his thousands, and it was one thing after another.
Yeah.
And I think, Dan, sometimes that guys can find themselves in the same spot. I've seen it on Facebook, anonymous posts, on some of our pastor fellowship groups. I don't know what to do. I can't do anything right.
Yeah.
And then other pastors coming on saying, I've been there, I know what you're talking about. It's almost like this is all too common,
yeah.
And it shouldn't be. And as we talked about in our last episode, though, I think it's common because it's our human nature, okay, to look at this and say, well, this isn't the way that we did things.
Right.
You know, well, we didn't put stuff like that on social media, or we wouldn't do youth outings like that. Or I was a youth pastor for 25 years, and I could tell him what to do, but he won't listen to me.
Right.
Well, this is not 1970 anymore either.
Right.
And so it could be a lack of communication, as we said. There's insecurities, there's pride. It's just because of who we are and what we are, it's just causing huge problems that are there. And I guess it's a little sensitive to me because in one of the churches I was in, I remember I was one of the first guys ever to do PowerPoint. This was back in the day where, you know, you prayerfully prayed over projector because they were so much money.
Right.
You weren't buying them on Temu like you can now.
Yeah.
Temu. Yeah, this crazy Super Bowl ruined it for me. My kids were like, what? That's how you say it? Temu. And so I remember putting it up. I don't remember anything about it. I don't even remember the sermon, anything. But I put the projector up and I just used outline or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe I put the text up on the screen and went through it. And it was probably a couple weeks later, I'm preaching out of town, and the pastor gets up and starts saying, we're not going to be like those other churches, and we're not going to go new evangelical, and we're not going to be like these guys we see on TV. And the last thing we're going to do is start putting songs and words up on the screen and put a screen on this wall. And he points right to where mine was.
Right.
Well, as you can imagine, my phone is, boom, pastor's preaching against you, pastor's preaching against you. And looking back, I think I don't remember if we had a conversation about it or somebody confronted him about it. And he's like, well, no, I wasn't talking about Trey. I was just talking about music or something.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the spear had been thrown.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm dodging a spear. Now I've got to walk softly because I don't want another spear thrown.
Mm-hmm.
And was there anything wrong with what I was doing? No, now we all do it.
Right.
I was just ahead of the time in some of that, but I couldn't, and maybe I should have. I don't know, doesn't matter, but the point was a spear was thrown.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, kind of like David, you know, he wasn't there when Saul's like, where's David? I'm going to kill him. And I wasn't there, where's Trey? Well, I'm going to let everybody know that what Trey did is wrong, and we're not doing that. And it's not good. And it's hard for these guys to find themselves in that situation. And so as we talked about that last episode, let's dive in, Dan, on this one, and let's give some encouragement. Yeah. All right, guys, you're listening. You've dodged a spear yesterday, and you know another one's coming. You know, what's happening? And I think, as I think about throwing spears, maybe somebody's like, what do you mean, Trey? Spear throwing can be a lot of different things in ministry, and I'll have you jump in for sure on this one, Dan. But, you know, for me in the past, it was a changing of ministries. Oh, hey, Trey, we're not going to have you preach as much.
Yeah.
Or, hey, we're going to have you start overseeing the school. Or don't worry about making visits anymore. I'll do all the visits. You just kind of hang back. You know, oh, people are liking you too much, so we're not going to let you be with people. Those are spears.
Right.
Those are things that you see coming that's like, okay, why? This doesn't make any sense. And what has changed?
Mm-hmm.
maybe it's, hey, you're not going to get as much money in your youth budget anymore.
Right.
Anything like that. You get anything come to your mind as you're thinking about Spears too?
Well, slurs are one. The backhanded compliments.
You know, oh, there you go.
Things. So,
yeah.
You for sure. There's a, well, I was, I know that you normally teach this or you normally preach here, but you know, we're not going to do that anymore. Or just,
it's good.
Well, it must be nice to, you know, fill in the blank. A comment that was actually said and it can all, if you were to address it, it could all be played up to, oh, I was just kidding, just joking around, but not really.
Yeah.
A comment was made when I bought a vehicle of, well, I can tell that, you know, we're going to have to change the budget up, but we're not getting all your missions money. You know, those kind of comments, you know, that was kind of kidding, but in reality, I bought a nicer vehicle than what they had at the time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just those kind of things, and we can let it eat at us.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's this tension there, and, you know, the old saying of there's a mountain where it started out is just maybe something that should have been addressed before.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. I think that's right. We gotta, and sometimes I too, even as a senior pastor, I need to be careful because I can be sarcastic. And
really.
And I think all pastors have a gift of sarcasm.
We have sarcasm, snarky.
You know, I mean, wit. I don't know what it is, but we do. And I just remember one time from the pulpit making a statement, and everybody thought it was funny about one of my assistants, but I noticed his wife didn't laugh at all.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I probably need to be done with this.
Right.
Because
right.
It's going from picking to. Now, there were times, though, when my other assistants would get up, I'd be like, I want you to tell a joke about me or something. I don't care if you got to lie about what happened in golf yesterday. Do something just to break ice, because I could see people thinking at that time that there was maybe contention between us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, people got to know we're on the same page with this. Let's go ahead and make sure you break the ice somehow with this. And that's all that was needed. So I think that's okay. But I think times we've got to be careful with those things. And watch that. So here's David. He rejects the armor. He goes through, you know, some rough patches. But David still he still does what he's asked. All right. If I can't do the youth group and I've got to do the senior saint ministry at 27, fine. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll just do the best I can. And if I can't preach on Sundays, fine. I'll preach at, you know, chapel on Thursdays. Right. I'll just do the best I can, or nursing, whatever. So I feel like David was doing what he was asked. I don't feel like David was looking for support or applause. I really think David was doing what he's asked to please the Lord, okay, and do what God had called him to do, and that was to serve. I mean, the guy had been anointed king. He knew that was the case, but he was still there to serve. But as we look at David, and we see David behaving himself wisely in this, he was accepted in the sight of all the people. How can our guys be in this situation and do the same? How can they be rejected by the boss and still be pleasing to the Lord and to the church and nobody know?
Yeah.
I was thinking one of the things is, if you're listening to this and that's where you are, let me encourage you to confirm your calling. David knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was exactly where he needed to be. And he knew it was not God's timing for him to be the king yet.
Right.
And so, guys, as you're going through this, you really need to prayerfully consider your calling. And if you know this is where God has you and this is where God wants you, then you've got to make the most of it no matter what. I mean, if you went from assistant pastor to assistant bus captain, or, you know, you went from school administrator to assistant secretary, whatever. But if this is the ministry you're in, man, you've just got to trust God that He knows what He's doing in that situation.
Yeah, and I think there's times when we really need to develop a thicker skin in ministry. And there's the buzzwords of, you know, toxic work environment are certainly out there. And there's certainly situations that are toxic work environments, for sure. However, don't allow every little schism and every little awkward moment become fuel for, you see right there, you see? And so sometimes it does need to be, you know, water off a duck's back, and we need to develop the ability to go, yeah, that person was having a bad day. Should they respond that way? No. Was that right to say? No. But if I am ready to turn in my resignation every single time a crossword is said,
right,
believe me, I don't care where you go, there's going to be situations like that.
I mean, but you know guys, I know guys, that's their modus operandi. Right. It's like 2 years and out, 2 years and out.
Right.
Well, the pastor mentors me too much. The pastor doesn't mentor me enough.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like there's no, these guys
think
can't
about
find
marriage.
It.
I mean, think about your marriage. If that was your same attitude in marriage was, well, it's a toxic environment. I've been in some toxic environments for the last 20 years, but I'm not ditching it every time.
That's right.
So there's got to be a level of commitment. And I like what you said about confirming your calling, because if you know this is where I'm supposed to be, then there is a sense of trust in God.
Yeah.
And God is going to teach me something here.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to help me grow in certain areas, and we can't just be ready to throw in the towel
right.
every single time conflict happens, because conflict happens whether you're in a ministry context or whether you're in a secular work environment. There's going to be conflict there, and let me just say this: many times in a secular environment, the kind of conflict that you're having is much worse than what it would be in a ministry context.
Right.
So we need to evaluate all of those kind of things. And my wife left public school her senior year and went into a Christian school.
Hmm.
And her thought was that this was going to be like going to church camp all the time. You know? And what she found out is there was a lot of the same problems, and some of those problems intensified, you know, in a Christian school. So don't fantasize the ministry to the point where you think there shouldn't be conflicts.
Right.
Read the New Testament, and you'll find out that ministry leaders had conflict with one another.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And God can use it.
Sure.
You know, I often say, where would we be without Paul and Silas? Well, nowhere, unless he and Barnabas kind of...
That's absolutely right.
You know, butted heads in that. So, good. So, we've got...
Confirm it.
Yeah. And look at that. I think you said in the last episode, even have a little compassion, try to figure out where pastor's coming from. And I think that goes into this point of... David, I struggle with this one too, Dan. We talk about David didn't raise his hand against God's anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at the pastor sometimes, or people do, as God's anointed, quote unquote. I don't see that. That's a king that's not necessarily a pastor.
Right.
And as an assistant, that doesn't make him any better than me. You know what I'm saying? We're all anointed. We've all been ordained. We're all pastors in ministry.
Sure.
Just our positions are different. So I want to be careful with using the term lifting up our hand against God's anointed. But I think there should be a type of loyalty that's there, one to the Lord, one to our church that I'm in, which leads to the pastor. And so there's a balance when you find yourself in this position of loyalty, you know, to the pastor that's over me, and also just looking at it as, look, this is a position I'm in and he's the boss. So I've got to do what I'm going to do what I'm told here.
Yeah.
And that's a hard place to find yourself in.
And we're not talking obviously about, you know, legal matters and covering ups and stuff like that. No, we're not talking about that at all. I think, though, that we have taken that because of recent days of things, you know, kind of been bringing a lot to light, and we have thrown out the idea of any kind of loyalty for the ministry and for the pastor. You know, back in 2020 when we first started the podcast here, our assistant at the time, which we still have a really good relationship, one of the things that that was a real topic of discussion at the time was the whole, do we mask, do we not mask, do we have, you know, do we follow all of the social distancing? You know, there's some, you know, there was such a divided church even in that time frame. And we were divided on all of that.
Yeah.
What do we do? And he was young and very passionate and ambitious and, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, well, you know, I'm trying to figure out everything, as we all were.
Yeah.
So there were many, many discussions that at times were heated, and at times, you know, we fell on different sides of the coin there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I never felt like that he was out to divide.
Yeah.
That he was out.
That's good.
To ruin or to go against me. I knew that he very passionately disagreed with me.
Yeah. 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 No, I think that's important. You know, I think Mark Dever says whenever there's a board meeting and he sees one of the elders or kind of like, or an intern like that, mm-hmm. he's like, I disagree here completely. He's like, I've got two baseball gloves and a ball in my office.
Yeah.
I just say, let's go outside and throw a ball.
Yeah.
And then we talk.
Yeah.
It's just a different atmosphere, different environment. Let's talk through this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. But the problem comes too sometimes, Dan, where I think these guys, and that's a problem where maybe it is time for you to leave when the pastor just breaks communication. And you know what that's like too.
Right.
It's like, you see each other in the hallway and he doesn't want to have a conversation. He's leaving text messages on red, you know, and it's okay. I just want to talk, but there's ice.
Right.
And this isn't going anywhere. And then when you're in that situation, what are you going to do? I think you do stay loyal. It's there, but then you see the writing on the wall, like David did eventually, and say, it's time for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't working. 'Cause you need that relationship.
Yeah.
To work together that way.
Yeah. Yeah. When people stop talking, it definitely changes the environment of everything. You don't do anything right at that point.
Right.
Because you have no idea. You have no idea what right is.
Right.
So, there is a point when maybe it is time to look at, okay, this may not fit long term. But that shouldn't be the first.
No, this is last resort.
Yeah.
You know, you think even with David, I mean, David, dodge a spear. And then he told Jonathan, we're going to give this one more shot.
Yeah.
Tell your dad I'm out on business and let's see how he does with this.
Yeah.
And so there was a wisdom there in, okay, let's see how this is handled. And I think even as assistants listening, if you pray for God for wisdom to try to test the waters, he'll give you that. You know, or God, I need you to shut doors on me here so I know it's time for me to go. Those are hard to endure, but God can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this is a harsh statement, but it's not intended to wound. If you're the guy that can't get along with any pastor, maybe it's not the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we often are blame shifters, and well, I just couldn't work with that guy, and I tell you what, that they're doing everything wrong over there, but at the end of the day, you're the one without a ministry, you're the one without a job, you know, we've got to look at ourselves in the mirror and go, okay, where can I improve?
Yeah,
because there's no perfect person in any of these scenarios, and just like we would give in relationship advice in a marriage relationship, you cannot fix the other person. All you can work on is you.
Yeah.
And if the person doesn't want to be fixed, then it may be time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be that you has followed you to every ministry you have been in.
Yeah.
And perhaps we need to grow in some areas ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're so good at making ourselves look good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my fault. Well, let me tell you these stories, but there's always two sides to every story.
Yeah, sure.
When you're looking at this. So guys, I do think too, as Daniel's saying, as you're thinking about this, man, just take a step back and look at each situation objectively, not subjectively, and see how you can handle things different. I mean, I can tell you right now, after 16 years as an assistant pastor, there were many situations I can look back on and say, man, I just wish I'd have done that a little differently.
Right. Yeah.
Or I wish I'd have handled this a little differently. Or, man, I was an idiot there.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, that Dan and I will both agree on is, I think he's already alluded to it a little bit, us as pastors can be a pain at times.
Sure.
And sometimes it's just because we're fleshly and human. And other times because we might be carrying burdens that no one knows.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we're burdening our heart because of somebody we've discipled over the years, we found out it's fallen away from the faith, or somebody's called us and, look, I can't tell you, but I just found out my husband's been cheating on me, and I can't say a word to anyone about it, and they're like, man, what's Trigg's deal today? Well, I can't even tell you what my deal is today. And sometimes it's things at home with our families and our kids, and, you know, and I don't know, I got a perfect wife, but maybe your wife, and you, there's just got to be some grace there too. Like you said, Daniel, we can't just jump off the hat every time something like this happens. But if it becomes a regular pattern, hey, come, you know, come sit down with me, and then the spear's in the hand. Oh, hey, come sit down with me, the spear's in the hand, and in public, the spear's in the hand, and then there's some things we got to analyze and look at. We still got to remember God's called us here. Okay, we still got to remember, okay, at this point, this is my pastor. This is who I'm under. Okay, these are my church people. And I don't want anybody to know anything, but I need to be praying, God, okay, this is what I'm seeing. If you want, if it's time for me to move on, just make that evidently clear and show me the way you want me to go.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but again, I think it's so important, Dan, not to let bitterness build in those situations. Yeah. You know, you should be able to leave, and 10 years from now, go back and shake that pastor's hand.
Yeah.
You know, without bitterness there and without anger there. And that's not always easy, depending on the situation and where we are. So, all right, guys, look, if you're there, I am sorry. If you need some insight on what to do, you know, we're here. I encourage you to reach out. Daniel's got some great counseling, does great advice with that. You know, reach out to him on social media as well, or myself, and we're just happy to help and maybe give you some outside wisdom looking in, because sometimes when you're in the thick of it, it's hard to see the outside. And, you know, David did rely upon a Jonathan. He had a friend there with him to give him some counsel and advice on what it is he needed to do. And we'd be happy to help you on those situations. And if Artie the Assistant has been a blessing or encouragement to you, man, share it. Let somebody else know. Pass this on. We just want to be a blessing to those that are out there. And if you're listening, you're like, man, I've got the spears thrown at me. I think I want to go start a church or work with a church and get it rolling. Dan is taking applications. You can work at the coffee shop and help him along the way. And I'll probably fire a guy soon too, so you can send one to me as well. But thank you for joining us and joining us from here in Weston, West Virginia. Almost heaven, West Virginia, and sitting at the coffee shop having a great time with you, and can't wait to see you again. Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. We really do. We've all been there, and sometimes you just kind of need a voice that's not connected to the situation, that you can kind of talk things out. Most of the time, when I'm able just to talk freely, I walk away going, man, thank you so much. And the person had just listened. They just listened and talked things out. So if we can be a listening ear, you can reach out to us. We'll be glad to help you.
That's awesome. Thanks again for joining us on Art of the Assistant.